From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is Dakota Midday. I'm Joe Telustis. Ahead on today's show, the South Dakota political junkies make their visit. One a wily veteran, the other making her debut on Dakota Midday. We'll get their thoughts on how Kristi Noem will vote for the next U.S. House Speaker and some early chatter on who will run for governor in 2018. SDPB-TV debuts a new documentary tonight. Black Hills Metamorphosis tracks the last 5 years of the fight against the mountain pine beetle. We'll get a preview from SDPB's Brian Gevick and Charles Michael Ray. And over 14% of South Dakota's population are age 65 and older, and those seniors are often confronted with issues and legal questions. We'll talk about an event in Salem coming up tomorrow that addresses those. That ahead on Dakota Midday. First, the news. And welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Joe Telustis. It is Wednesday, and that means time for our weekly chat with the South Dakota political junkies. And checking the roster today, I see first one of our wily veterans, John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. Hi, John.
Hi, Joe.
And second, I see a brand new junkie making her debut today, Dana Ferguson of the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Hi there. Welcome. Oh, and by the way, excuse the voice today. I am working on program director Susie Hansen put together an elixir for me that I'm pretty sure is mostly legal. And so we'll try to get by. So, again, my apologies. Dana, you're brand new to here on Dakota Midday. South Dakota meet Dana. Dana meet South Dakota.
Hello, South Dakota.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am originally from Minneapolis, went to school in Indiana, and most recently was working in Madison, Wisconsin at the Capitol out there for the Associated Press. I've been at the Argus Leader for about a month and a half, and I'm just getting to know Sioux Falls.
Well, indeed. In fact, that's kind of where I want to start. Part of your orientation, it appears, was attending last weekend's Lincoln County GOP dinner. And you wrote a story listing, I think it was six things that you overheard at that dinner. What did you hear?
Well, that's a good question. And I was out there on Saturday in tea. And things that were sort of important to note, Attorney General Jack Lee says that he might be looking at a gubernatorial run, but nothing concrete just yet. Also important to know that the Secretary of State is saying that as ballot measures roll in, that's how they're going to be placed on the ballot next year if they get enough signatures, which has been a concern for some of the ballot measure sort of petition circulators. And just some other fun facts along the way, I guess.
Would it be correct to say that with that the ballot issue thing, is that just it's an effort to try to avoid those last-minute rushes and trying to get things on earlier?
I believe so. I think they're just trying to get things done as quickly as they can. They're going to have between 40,000 and 50,000 pages of petitions, so I think they're just trying to find ways to get those in quickly and process them efficiently.
Let's turn to John and Kristi Noem. John, as you know, the news unfolded in the last week, the U.S. House of Representatives are going to be voting on a new Speaker of the House. Any thought or any word around on who Kristi Noem might support, and may her role now that she's been, or now that she's now in her third term, does it change at all kind of the power structure or her position as a likely candidate's jockey for position?
I have not heard who she is leaning toward supporting in for the Speaker. I believe just as an instinct, I think she may go for the, they'll listen to both, and she may side with the one who's more conservative. Now, they're not way far apart, so I'm not sure that's going to be an issue. But she's kind of put her stamp on being conservative, and so I would guess that would play. Now, Boehner's resignation and the moving, shifting around, I don't think would represent much opportunity for Kristi. You know, the House is so big, there's so many people, and so, you can in the Senate, if you're in your second or third term, things are really moving strongly for you. But in the House, I think it's going to take a while. So I don't see any kind of additional responsibilities for her because of this.
Do you think that a vote in this election could somehow affect her future electoral future back here in South Dakota? That is, you know, last time she voted for Boehner, and that angered some conservatives here. Does she have a lot riding on this vote?
I would say some. I wouldn't say a lot. And the reason is because it depends on what is an issue a year from now, rather than particularly right now. So if it was a really big issue, it could last that long. But I think what any opposition to her next year would bring up more current issues than, you know, that McCarthy or Chavez would be in there for more than a year by the time they get to general election. So I think they would focus more on how she voted lately. And there will be some critical votes next year that people will force, simply to force candidates to state their position. And I think those would be the ones that would affect her electability.
Dana, when we were talking about last weekend's Lincoln County GOP dinner, you mentioned Marty Jackley and the possibility of him running for governor in 2018. There's also other word kind of bubbling around here and there. Junkie Kevin Wooster, for instance, wrote a few days ago about how South Dakota Democrats may be ready to back Stephanie Herseth Sandlin for governor. It's a little early to be looking ahead to 2018, but I guess, Dana, you first, and then John, what are you hearing, and how might things change if Stephanie Herseth Sandlin gets into that kind of a race on who runs in the Republican ticket?
You know, I hadn't heard until the story came out about Stephanie Herseth Sandlin having intentions of running, and maybe she doesn't. But for the Democratic side, I'd heard that Billy Sutton might be interested in running, and maybe that's something we can talk about too.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as Republicans, I think there's been a question of whether Representative Noem plans to run, and also Attorney General Jackley, and I think all of that is really up to chance at this point, and we have some time to figure it out. But
indeed, yeah. I mean, I almost slapped myself for even bringing up 2018 at this point. John, you know, there's some intriguing things here that, you know, we've had some fairly, I don't want to say non-contested, but there've not been a lot of close races around, but all of a sudden you drop the name Herseth Sandlin into things, and things get interesting right away.
Yes, and I agree with Dana that we don't know yet if she's going to be a candidate or if she's interested in her. People are interested in her. She would be a terrific candidate. All the candidates that Dana mentioned, I think, would be contenders and would draw substantial support along the way. I think a little bit depends on Stephanie's family situation. You know, her husband Max is from Texas, used to being in Washington a long time. I don't know if they would be interested in a move to Pierre. It would be possible, but you know, Kevin is probably the best junkie we've got, and so he brought up a lot of great points in his blog. But I think he may have overstated at least a little bit how the Democrats were disaffected by her in the last election.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people said, well, yeah, Democrats are mad at her because she wasn't liberal enough. She'd kind of moved to the center. And I think that's overplayed a little bit. You know, she still had plenty of support among Democrats during that time, and I think she would again. So I think she would be a very formidable candidate, and the others would too.
Very good. We can save some talk on 2018 for down the road. Yeah, again, my apologies. Dana, moving on to, we just heard during our newscast here at the top of the hour, kind of the latest on the Education Secretary, Melody Schaap, putting a hold on the program with Native American students. You've written on that story. Can you give us an update? What's the latest?
Sure. So yesterday at a council meeting in Flandreau, she sort of told educators who were there that until they hear from the feds, they really should not do anything with the Gear Up program. And that came sort of as a problem to some districts who had already hired on graduation counselors or other program administrators in their schools who thought they were going to be paid through this program, but now it kind of remains uncertain whether they will.
John, your general thoughts on this? I mean, if a conspiracy theorist is looking for something to follow, there always seems to be plenty of ammunition. And I'm not in any way saying that this is, you know, conspiracy theory or not, but these another one of those chapters, another one of those unfolding parts of the story, which kind of make you go, you know, what are your thoughts and observations as this continues to, I guess, build steam?
Well, Joe, I think you're right. There will be conspiracy theorists, and they might be correct. I don't know. You get a whole bunch of layers here, and certainly there are references to the EB-5 and those sorts of things. And it really gets complicated when you have multiple levels of government involved in these things, and they all have it's seemingly different political agendas. They have different staffing goals and so forth. So you have a federal program, and then it goes through the state, and then it finances either a nonprofit or, in some cases, a for-profit things. And then they're kind of crossing paths, and they're all depending on the decision of either an agency or a politician to fund these things. I can understand how it would be confusing, and the more levels that you get in there, the more confusing it gets. So it's discouraging, I'm sure, for the people who especially had high hopes for this kind of a program, and certainly the goals are really good for getting young Native American students to prepared for college and admitted and so forth. And so I'm sure they're frustrated by this uncertainty that goes here, let alone the staffers and so forth. So it would be a frustrating time for many.
Mm-hmm. Dana and John, if you could, I don't want to speculate isn't the right word, but if people are, you know, what are the next things and types of things that you'll be watching for the next chapters in these stories, and what can listeners and readers and citizens in South Dakota do? What should they be doing and looking for as the next chapter unfolds here?
Dana, I mean, I can go first too.
It doesn't matter. You can go ahead.
What I think is there's going to be some demand of investigations into both the kind of directly affected the Gear Up thing, but also the kind of the tangential programs around that to look for fraud or other kinds of things. And depending on what they find there, whether it's, you know, an isolated instance or some sort of, you know, wider corruption or something like that, will then determine what reaction would take place, either from the federal saying, hey, we're cutting off South Dakota because you guys can't do it right, or South Dakota, you know, the state of South Dakota says we're not going to work with these local agencies because they're the ones that are wrong, or legislators will propose checks and balances on some of these things. But I think the first part, and the people of South Dakota deserve to have, we don't know what that is yet. We didn't even know what went wrong, let alone who caused it or anything else. So I think that really the next chapter is deeper investigation, and probably led by the state of South Dakota.
Okay, Dana?
I think I would really agree with all of that, and also say it's frustrating because there is a lot of information out there that we just can't access at this point because it's all involved in the ongoing investigation by DCI, but we plan to continue looking into some of those other groups that were affiliated with Mid-Central, The state's sort of auditing those at this point as well, waiting to hear back from the feds as far as what they think they should do, whether that be to allow the Board of Regents to take over in administering federal funding to this Gear Up program, or if they find another way to do that, or don't take it on at all. So it'll be interesting to watch what happens and keep up the coverage on what's going on with Gear Up.
Joe, yeah. If I can sneak one more thing about this, and that is there is a real role for the media in this place, and I'm not honking my own horn for this bit, but if you have government agencies investigating themselves or other government agencies, we're not sure that stuff sees the light of day. And as Dana is describing, that if these things are all tied up in investigation by other agencies, the role of the media, frankly, in my opinion, in this place, is to expose that to light and try to get as much of that stuff, whether you have to go to court to do that or whatever those kinds of things are, because the citizens and taxpayers and all the constituents of these programs deserve to know more than they would get if the media wasn't pushing on this.
Is there with the Gear Up program on hold now, does that add any sense of urgency? Because sometimes these things can carry on for a long time.
Oh, I would be surprised if there's something that happens quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It should have urgency because of that. It should be like any justice kind of thing. They deserve a quick and speedy trial, or you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So it should be done as quickly as you can, and whatever barriers to that speediness should be removed.
Dana, any closing comments?
Yeah, I mean, just to add on to that, I think at the state level, there is some frustration. Melody Shop yesterday was very apparently frustrated at the slow speed at which the feds are working on this, and she was angered by the fact that she couldn't really tell these people exactly what to say because she doesn't know. It's really in the Fed's hands at this point, and until they say something, there's just not a lot that any of us really know about it.
All right, very good. Well, we're out of time, but there will be more junkie conversation next Wednesday, I'm sure. Again, John Hunter, as always, thanks for joining us. John is the publisher of the Madison Daily Leader.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thank you. And for Dana Ferguson, brand new junkie, her first appearance. You did fine. You did great.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you back again. Dana is a new reporter with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. This is Dakota Midday on SDPB Radio. I'm Joe Telustis. Coming up, we will talk about the debut of a brand new South Dakota Public Broadcasting television special tonight, a documentary on the Black Hills Pine Beetle, an update from the 2010 documentary. We'll find out more about the new show tonight coming up. This is Dakota Midday here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.